Well, we got nobody working. Everybody's going away. Everybody just booked their trips.
London, Paris.
So we'll have, you know.
We'll see you later.
We'll just go to network programming.
That's right.
Got no producer, got no co-host. Chris is going to watch a 0-0 game over in London. He might see a penalty kick if he's lucky.
They're going to have a shootout when you go, Chris. Be ready for it. Chris doesn't like the shootout, by the way. He likes the game to end in a tie. That's what he told me.
Oh, please.
That's what I said. Come on, Chris. You have to have some finality to the game.
Come on.
Can't believe you sometimes, Chris.
Sad.
Yes. But, Chris, for $189, you can go to London, buddy.
Going right now.
See? Go to network programming because no one will be here. See what you do, Napier? You give all this education, and then everyone leaves. That's not good.
Hey, I'm just trying to, you know, be a good Samaritan.
I appreciate it personally because I wouldn't have known that, and neither would our listeners.
The last caller, I have no issue sitting on the aisle, all right? First of all, you can get up and go when you have to. You can walk around.
True.
Right?
Yes. You know what? If I'm with my family, if I'm with my wife or my son, I'll do the window seat because I like to go to sleep and put my head on the window.
If I have extra leg room, I will always do a window seat.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, aisle's good. Pop up, go to the bathroom, do my thing.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Walk around.
Now, these planes aren't, the Kings, that new plane.
Oh, ooh, boy.
That is nice.
Yeah. Oh, 757.
I am loving it.
Tonight we got a little NFL football for you as week two officially begins tonight. We'll have it for you. We'll get you to Cincinnati. I wonder what the effect would be if we come in tomorrow and the Bengals lose and look bad doing it. You got to wonder if Marvin Lewis is going to last that much longer. You got Deshaun Watson making his first start. In the second half, he made his NFL debut. He threw for 102 yards. He had two turnovers. The offensive line did not help him. He was sacked four times. He's got no tight end to throw to. You have no Brian Cushing on defense. The Bengals, meanwhile, Andy Dalton may have been the worst quarterback in the NFL last weekend. I mean, he was awful. Their offensive line was terrible. They look uninspired. They got embarrassed. But although they played a good team defensively, I think without Brian Cushing, Houston's defense – not nearly as good. You got Pac-Man Jones back to help out on, you know, wide receivers of Houston. I think Cincinnati wins tonight. What do you think?
Yes, I do too. This is a game, obviously, that you should win. But even last week, you know, you put up a donut. The only team in the NFL not to score a point last week. And then you had Flacco coming back, and he hadn't played any preseason game. And he outduels, for all intents and purposes, your quarterback, even though Dalton attempted and completed more passes. I would say that Cincinnati, this is a game that they should win. I would think that they would play some inspired football. They have to take advantage of an offensive line that in Houston that obviously isn't that good, giving up 10 sacks last weekend. Four of them went against Watson, who will be starting his first game tonight. Sore ankle, so many different things.
Yep.
And it's his birthday. All that has to be going through the young kid's head. But I will say this about young Deshaun Watson. He is built for this stage, Grant. You've seen it in college. Can he produce it in the NFL? I don't know. But I would say that Cincinnati probably gets this by 10 points. If they don't, Marvin Lewis better start watching his back.
I think he's got to watch his back anyway. I do not see how the Bengals are going to win a lot of games this year. And I'm not basing that on just what I saw over the weekend, last weekend. I'm basing it on what I saw last year, the additions or lack thereof this year, and the fact that, to me, Andy Dalton continues to regress in his career, not move forward. And I think that's got to be a big concern if you're the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, you know what? When I look at the Bengals and you think about who they have and what they've done, they've been in the position, Grant, to win some postseason games. They've done some really stupid things from Burfict, Pac-Man Jones, different things that – threw them off course. But as far when you talk about I like Andy Dalton as a quarterback. Can he produce, you know, obviously in the playoffs? Can he continue on what he was doing with A.J. Green? They have to lock up and do some things. But I thought that this team might be able to sneak into the playoffs this year. And after that first game, that made me look like a complete idiot. I'm going to stay with it. I think that they might get that last spot, the wild card spot. But they're going to have to turn things around. And Mixon, Joe Mixon, the young running back, is going to have to deliver as well.
Got a lot of interesting matchups this week, I think, in the NFL. I think there were a lot of really good games. And I think the Sunday night game may be the best game on the card. I think when you have – you know, the opening of a new stadium, you have two prolific quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, national stage, you know, the 5:30 Pacific start, mm-hmm. Green Bay at Atlanta, I think is going to be an absolute dandy. Then you got the opposite of that is the Jets at the Raiders. You know, that's just, it's brutal. But that game right there, and I tell you another good game, I really think that the Philadelphia-Kansas City game,
woof.
I want to see the impact of no Eric Berry for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're very good at home. They got the extra 3 days after beating New England on that opener on Thursday night. Speaking of New England, they go to New Orleans, and the Saints looked horrible against the Vikings. I think the Saints have a lot of issues. They're defensively, they are terrible.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a telltale for the Patriots. I mean, people are talking about them going 18-0 to the Super Bowl undefeated, and they come out and just get throttled by – I don't say throttled, but they got a pretty good spanking by Kansas City. You know, a game, Grant, that kind of interests me is the Jaguars and the Titans because you watch what the Jaguars did last week. Well, that's – just last week, but a Titans team that, you know, some people are expecting some things for. So there's a lot of games with just you kind of want to see what is a team going to do? How are they going to respond? Then you got a Browns team that, you know, kind of hung in there versus the Steelers. Now they're facing the Ravens team that went out and put a spanking down. And, you know, I said, what was it, over on two wins for the Browns?
I think DeShone Kizer, I think when you look at the Browns mm-hmm. with the defense of Baltimore.
Yeah. Not a chance?
Running for his life? You always have a chance in the NFL unless you're the Jets coming out west. But that's a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Baltimore. But that defense of Baltimore, they will dial up some things that this young quarterback has never even thought of.
Cowboys-Broncos is an interesting
one, too. Very good game.
Too.
Interesting game. I'm not sold on Denver. I'm really not. I didn't think Dallas looked that good against the Giants either.
No.
I really didn't.
Yeah, you know, some of the NFC teams, yours, mine, didn't
no, not
show
really.
Well
but,
in week
but
one.
But I think there were a lot of subpar performances in week one because of the way teams go about the preseason. It takes 2 or 3 weeks for these teams to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, kind of what it used to be in NBA when I first came in. I remember talking to James Worthy. He says he used to say, well, we take the preseason to get in shape. Well, not now. Now they stay in shape.
Look at the Atlanta Falcons, a prolific offense that, you know, they didn't look great on the road against Chicago.
Not at all.
Green Bay's offense, you know, and I know Seattle's defense is good, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know, these offenses take a few weeks to get into a rhythm.
I'm crossing my fingers.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
It is 4:20. Time to go see the return of Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com.
All right, Lincoln Kennedy is going to be coming on in 10 minutes. We have got Thursday night football as in Cincinnati. Two teams that maybe – would it be safe to say that these two teams that are playing tonight, Houston and Cincinnati, maybe had the worst – week one of anyone? Could you make that claim?
Yeah, well, for one, Cincinnati doesn't score a point at home. Yeah, I would say that. And then if you look at Houston, after Hurricane and you're coming out and you're thinking that you're going to really get going and you put out not a good showing and you allow your quarterback to get sacked 10 times, I would say, yeah, both of those are really bad.
Well,
oh, goodness gracious. 10 times, Grant. I mean, do you know, I'm sure a few of those guys, I'll have to look at the stats, probably got multiple sacks. So, you know, in a normal year, the sack leader is probably what?
Upper teens.
15,
upper
17.
Teens. Yes, 18.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, man, you in 1 week, if you got lucky, 10, man, those guys, all of them are living large right now.
All right. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. looking at Michael Irvin on the NFL Network. He looks like he got dressed in a closet before he went to work today.
You don't like bright colors, man? Come on, Napier.
You like that outfit?
Oh, man, I like Michael Irvin.
I didn't say I didn't like Michael Irvin. I'm looking at his clothes.
Well, see,
you don't like that, do you?
Okay.
I mean, I know
there,
we're on
there
radio.
Are parts
I'm
of
trying
that.
To explain that. He's got like a light purple sport coat with bright red checkered design on a sport coat with a tablecloth as a shirt.
Stop
like
it.
At your outdoor picnic.
You sound like you.
And a red tie.
See,
I mean, come on.
This is what you this did to me on the radio.
What?
You and Jerry.
This what did I do?
You said that I had on a tablecloth. So when you look at him, you got to know
yeah,
that
but you
I
know
like what
I don't
he
mind
on.
A tablecloth shirt if it if your sport coat isn't a tablecloth.
I like the sport court.
You know what I'm talking about.
I like the sport coat more than I like the shirt.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get to Casey. Hello, Casey. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just had a quick quick story about Lizzie Kennedy. I heard you getting ready to come on in a couple minutes.
Yes, he is.
I was tailgating two or three years ago at a home game, and I'm sitting there just enjoying myself, having a couple of adult beverages. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Lincoln Kennedy comes strolling down the tailgate aisle where I'm tailgating at. He had some family or some friends that were there, and he stopped by my tailgate, and we just talked football for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Just how the team was doing, offensive line, defense, how we were looking for the rest of the year. And I didn't want to bug him too much. I let him go, but it was just super random and awesome to just out of nowhere start talking football with Lincoln Kennedy.
He's a great guy. He's one of the nicest. I've known Lincoln for going on almost 20 years. He's just the real deal. He's just a great person.
He's awesome. He's awesome. He was smoking a big cigar, just yep. chilling, lounging. And he's an awesome dude, man. And I just wanted to just share that with you guys and just tell him I appreciate that because I never got a chance to talk to him after that. I just want to tell him I appreciate taking the time out, talking football with a Raider fan, and it was something I'll remember for a while. It was a cool experience.
That's no great, Casey. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. That's just the way he is.
Not at all. I was going to probably say before he said it, was he smoking a stogie? And then he says, yes, he's smoking a stogie.
Right.
So a good guy that would absolutely talk to you anytime.
Yeah, good guy. Speaking of the good guy, he's going to be coming on with us next. We'll talk about week one that we just saw in Nashville and look ahead to the week off against the Jets. That's coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. I know on any given Sunday in the NFL, but let me tell you something right now. If the Raiders lose to the Jets this week, there ought to be an investigation. Lincoln Kennedy, how are you, sir?
Now, why would you guys say that? You know it. You know that you can jinx a team by talking them up so much that they lose a game they should have won.
This is true.
Link,
it happens in every sport. We see it almost every time we watch sports.
Somebody, yeah, no, you're right.
Somebody else, and we're like, our jaws drop. Like, oh, my gosh, how did that happen? It's sports. It happens.
You know, Link, week one, I want to talk about the defense first because we keep on criticizing that. I really thought I like what I saw from the Raiders defensively. Give me your thoughts on what you saw.
The second half, they cleaned it up. They didn't do anything different. Talking with the defensive coaches, especially Rod Woodson, who I still have a good relationship with, he told me they didn't do anything different. They just called them and guys executed better, which is good. I think that's a confidence builder. The thing is that when you saw the first half, there was a level of concern because Tennessee really was having their way with the offense. I mean, with the Raiders' defense. And then, as I said, they cleaned things up and were able to get things going in the second half where they got some third down stops and they were able to take advantage of some situations. I personally think that Tennessee called the game wrong, but that's just me. So,
sure.
If I were them, I would have tried to run it down the Raiders' throat because they were getting 3, 4, or 5 yards a crack to start with, and then they all of a sudden wanted to get pass happy, trying to go to Corey Davis and everything else. And I just don't see that as being the strength of their game.
Link, with the Raiders scoring 10 big points in the fourth quarter, and you see Marshawn Lynch being able to put the ball on the ground, run the ball, and still punishing style, do you think that bodes well for the Raiders to be able to close games out going forward?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another confidence builder. But here's the thing. The Raiders in that game had first down on the 3-yard line,
mm-hmm.
and they threw it three times at Amari Cooper.
Yes, they did.
Now, that's disturbing to me as an analyst to me because I don't think that is the – well, actually, I take that back. I know differently now that I've seen it. I didn't think that was the identity of the Oakland Raiders, but it obviously is. I mean, look, I give Derek Carr all the credit in the world. He's a franchise quarterback. He's going to be a quarterback for a long time, and he's going to be a good one. There's no doubt about it. But with that offensive line that you invested in, and you've got somebody by the name of Beast Mode back there, why are you throwing it three times on a goal line?
Hey, what, are you asking me that question? He was with the Seahawks. Freaking A, we lost the damn Super Bowl because of that. Are you getting me started, Lincoln? I have no idea. Maybe Del Rio talked to Pete Carroll.
Well, here's what I do know. You know, they've often joked about it in press conferences. Jack Del Rio and Derek Carr have always joked about it, saying if they were in that situation, they would do it differently. And then, of course, game one, we see that situation arise. And what do? They try to force the ball three times to Amari Cooper.
Yeah. No.
So we'll see if it's a learning experience or what have you. But maybe Todd Downing was just trying to do something different. And Derek Carr does have some control over the offense. So maybe Derek was just wanting to get Cooper his first touchdown. I mean, actually, first touchdown because he scored earlier, his second touchdown of the day.
All right, let's get back to this Sunday. I mean, let's face it, the Jets look awful. But the one thing, I mean, you know this. I mean, do not let a team like this hang around and hang around. You get off to a good start. I think you can take care of business early in this game.
I agree, and that's always the key. Jump out to an early lead, take care of business as you're supposed to, and you don't have to look behind you. But, you know, we've seen it many times for whatever reason. Teams come out a little lackluster, a little slow, a little lethargic. Maybe they take it easy because they think they're just going to have their way. There are still some works that are in progress. Yes, I think the offense can be efficient, but the defense really has to show up. And it would be wise for them to be able to separate themselves as far as statistically in the league if they can build confidence with their scheme. So if they come out and shut the Jets down like we anticipate and they're supposed to do, then it builds confidence for a whole team, especially if they get the win.
Link, is there anything coming from the Jets side that might worry you, especially, I guess, not so much on the offensive side of the ball for the Raiders, but maybe on the defensive side of the ball that you see for the Raiders?
Well, they there's nothing that concerns me. I mean, the thing is that every NFL team has got players, has got athletes. Everybody seems to, the main talk about the Jets around the country seems to be how can they possibly, you know, be sucking for Sam, because that's the thing that they're going
right.
on. You know, you see teams that are tanking. And, look, I know as an athlete, and Doug, you can testify, if somebody came to you and said, hey, we want you to shut it down because we really want to get this player or these players next year's draft, you're going to look at them like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You better get out of my face. and that's the way it is. But here's the way around it. And a good buddy taught me about this when he was going through Philadelphia, when he's a Philadelphia 76er fan. It's not that the players tank. It's that the coaches and the scenarios tank. And what I mean by that is if you put an inferior, like in basketball, if you put an inferior player out there, you bench your good players, there's no way they can keep up with the top brass of the NBA. And in the NFL, you can think about it, just call plays that you know don't work over and over again. And then you ruin your ability to score or be able to defend somebody. And that's how you end up, you know, sucking for Sam
yep.
or losing football games.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that because I say this all the time, and I don't know if fans truly understand it because we deal with this in the NBA a lot. I go, the players don't give a damn about the draft. They don't give a damn who the team's going to draft the following year. They don't even think about that. They don't go out and try to tank. You're exactly right because they don't even care about the draft.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. But if you put them in a disadvantageous situation,
yes.
or you're not giving them all the tools to win, like most coaching staffs do, then when they lose and their confidence fades, you're getting what they want, and the player's sulking. But hey, that's the price you're willing to pay, obviously, for success.
Yeah.
Do you see any difference as you're around the team, Link? Do you see any difference from last year's confidence and swagger to this year's confidence and swagger? Or is it just business as usual?
It's a maturity.
Okay.
This team is a little bit more mature than last year. They're going to need that maturity as they get into the teeth of the schedule, especially the division. Right now, they're still trying to fill themselves out. I mean, they've got a few new additions here and there. Of course, Marshawn Lynch and Marshall Newhouse and stuff like that. And they've got some draft choices they're trying to figure out. They still got some secondary issues they're trying to figure out. But I think overall, the nucleus, the foundation of this team is a little bit more mature. Now they just have to find a way to manage themselves and keep themselves healthy on the field for the big stretch that is going to be this season.
Any injuries of concern from last Sunday?
Let me see. I was looking at the injury report a moment ago. Because I'm doing it from my phone and I don't have my glasses. Allow me to try to blow this up.
Did you say you don't have your glasses? Come on, Link.
No. Same old, same old. Sean Smith did not participate. So that's as of today. But everybody else had full practice from Conley to Cooper, Corey James, Keith McGill, Jermaine Oluwole. They all went full today.
Gotcha.
Seabass?
Wow. just had to squeeze it in there, didn't you?
I try to tell him he doesn't listen to me. You know what I'm telling you?
Seabass is on IR. We don't care if he practiced or not. He's on IR.
You're my guy.
The first couple games, so
I love you, Link.
We don't have to go a kicker conversation for another couple of weeks.
You are awesome, man.
Speaking of that, you know, the special teams for the Raiders were outstanding on Sunday.
Yes, they were.
How about it? Giorgio Savecchio came through, right?
Yeah.
First time being out there, and he stood up to the test and was able to handle. So good for him.
You know, Link, Grant brings up a valuable point. The more that I really try to dive in. Special teams mean a lot. And what do you, when you look at the Raiders and you rank their, because a lot of times we look at their offense, we say their offense is top shelf, defense not so much. Where do you rank their special teams in the pantheon of what you see out there today?
Well, I would say Marquette King is a Pro Bowl style punter.
No doubt.
Deserves always the praise. Seabass, the Polish cannon, when he was in there, was one of the best, and he's been one of the best for a long time. But now that he's not, you know, you got to question where the kicking game at. You just don't have a big enough plate of experience or, you know, something to show how much, you know, Giorgio has done yet. So we have to wait and see. Overall, I think, you know, when you talk about Patterson, the possibility of what he can do for return games, I mean, I think the special teams are up there. Now, the only concern I really have for him is their gunners on the punt. And I don't know if they have a true, usually on a special team, especially kickoff cover, you want to have like one or two just really go-getters, standout guys that are always around the ball, going to make tackles. And I don't know. I haven't seen enough kick returns to say if the Raiders have that.
Okay.
Final question, Link. We were talking about the game tonight. Two teams that just looked absolutely awful. The Bengals were shut out at home against Baltimore and the Texans, and gee, who's playing quarterback this week? They got Brian Cushing, who was just suspended for 10 games. And again, I'm not in that locker room, but I'm just curious, when a player like Brian Cushing, and again, when I listen to people that cover the team down there, they say that he's the leader on defense, blah, blah, blah. When you get that notice during a week that a guy like that's going to be out for 10 weeks, what impact does that have on the team?
Well, I mean, it's a disappointment because now you're not at full strength. But here's the bigger thing, guys. The city of Houston has been through so much. How could you possibly concentrate on football?
Yep.
I know it's a morale raiser, and I know what you're supposed to do, and I understand what J.J. Watt and the rest of the team have done. But I can't imagine going through a scenario where you've got family or you've got concerns, and you have to bypass that to go out there and hit somebody or run around and hit somebody.
Great point.
You know, and so that's for Houston's standpoint. For Cincinnati's viewpoint, it was just the fact that, you know, their quarterback played sloppy. I think he threw five picks. I mean, Dalton just can't. Here's the thing: if you got a quarterback, you got a chance. But if you don't have a quarterback or the quarterback's throwing for the other team, there's no way that you can win. So, you know, Andy Dalton has got to be better. And I didn't see a good game out of him last week.
You know, Link, that brings up a interesting point when you talk about how can you focus on that. You look at a team like Miami, didn't play in week one. Now they had to go to Oxnard to practice, and that's where they're at now. As someone who's been in the locker room, how do you begin to – and maybe you never went through anything that catastrophic, but how do you begin to just strategize and get it into your head that, look, we got to put that on hold and we got to go out and compete?
You know what? I was around in, you know, September 11th.
Yes.
And I remember the week that happened. I remember where I was when I saw the towers go down. I had just been woken up by my wife, a phone call, who said that we were under attack. And it was I was in my bed. It was a Tuesday morning, and I remember going to the locker room, going to the facility, and just there was an odd aura around it because you didn't know what you were supposed to do. You didn't know if you should play or you shouldn't play. In the wake of this, you know, this tragedy, this terrorist attack. And so I often think about a situation, not to say that it was like the terrorist attack, but it is something that's traumatic to the country that the entire country feels.
Yep.
Right.
It's hard to bypass those feelings, those emotions, to play a game. because just like JJ said, when it's all said and done, football is a game.
Right.
It's not a way of life. It's a game. We want it to be a way of life, but ultimately it's a game. It's a game that if it doesn't happen or it does happen, doesn't mean the world stops. And so it's awful. It's often hard to overlook that and bypass those feelings and those emotions when your heart goes out to so many people and there's so much level of concern to where you can focus on how can I beat the guy across me and score a touchdown.
Link, great stuff, man. Enjoy Sunday. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, brothers. You guys be well.
Appreciate you.
You know, and he's exactly right about that. It is just a game. It's what they do, but it's secondary to what's going on in that region of the country. It just is.
Yeah. When stuff like that happens, Grant, and I can remember just vividly 9/11. We were at home in Seattle, and actually we were getting ready to drive down here, and everything just stops because all of a sudden you realize that it's just a game and there are bigger things in life, if you haven't already, but it just absolutely crystallizes in your mind. Valid point by Link.
And we just, had the 9/11 anniversary on Monday, and I'll never forget, and I've talked to many of the New York Giants about this. I've talked to Bob Papa, the voice of the Giants. The Giants played in Denver on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
They flew on a United charter, and Bob tells the story, and I've talked to other Giants, that they got off the plane. The plane pulled up to a gate at Newark. They didn't pull into it. And he said they pulled up right next to Flight 93, the plane, and they said that it was early in the morning. There were some people in the waiting room getting ready to board that ill-fated flight that went down in Pennsylvania.
But, hold on, Grant. The Giants pulled up next to the flight
correct.
Before it?
That's correct.
Wow.
Right. But what I remember Bob saying, and I've talked to many Giants who were on that team, they went to the practice facility, their stadium,
okay,
which is the same thing. I mean, their practice bubble is right next to the Giants stadium.
Right.
And they basically were there. Guys were getting treatment. Guys were – and you can see Manhattan. You can almost reach your hand out and touch it from the parking lot at now MetLife Stadium. It's right there. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I remember where our seats were in the southeast corner. Every time I left my section to go onto the concourse or down the escalator to go to the parking lot after the game, the trade centers were like, I mean, they were right in front of you.
Yeah, you could see them.
And they talk about, you know, seeing the smoldering and the smoke from their practice facilities. I mean, like, in other words, they know what's going on, and then they can see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I can't – and Bob's talked about this, and I've talked to some of the other players that were on that team. And, you know, they just talk about and then you were trying to play a game. They would walk to practice, and it was still smoldering a week later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've never understood how on earth you were ever supposed to try to go and get a practice done.
Well, think of how far we are away from that, Grant. I mean, we're over here on the West Coast. But the lingering effects of that, remember how it changed the way that we
everything.
Entered the plane, got on the bus?
It changed everything.
Every single aspect of our life. And it just, it was, man, and hearts and blessings. I'm glad you brought that up. Go out to everybody involved in 9/11.
Yeah, no, I mean, it changed the way we all live.
Yes.
I mean, air travel alone. Going to the airport, everything.
Every
changed.
Single aspect. It was so stark of from one point to the next point that it was crazy. I remember waking up and just as I woke up, number two went into the second tower, and I just went, oh my goodness, that was a
you know. And I'm not listen. We're all Americans, and so whether you live in Seattle, Washington,
yeah.
or you live in New York, or you live in Washington, but I've always said this, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but since we just had Lincoln talk about that, and 9/11, this is the week of 9/11, which we did not have a show on Monday, so I could not address this. But I mean this to this day. When you live in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and you take whatever mode of transportation you go to work, and you see the Pentagon every day, if that's the way you go to work, There is no way that even today in 2017 that you can look at the Pentagon and not think about what happened on 9/11. I tell you this every time I'm in New York, when I take the Long Island Railroad, when I'm coming back from seeing my brother, and I look out the window to the left, and now I see the Freedom Tower.
Right.
But there's not a day that a New Yorker goes into the city and looks at Lower Manhattan and does not think of 9/11. It is a daily reminder. You have that daily reminder, and if you live in the city or you commute to in the city and you are always looking at the skyline, it is a daily reminder. And I've always said it's not a daily reminder if you live in California. It's not, and I'm not saying it doesn't have an impact on you, but what I'm saying is it's a lot different when it happens in your front yard because it is a daily reminder. And as it pertains to sport, and I've always said this and I will continue to say this, 9/11 changed even a rivalry like the New York-Boston rivalry. The fans at Yankee Stadium were vile and ruthless towards Red Sox fans to a point where I always thought, and I was at many of those games, I've always wondered how unpleasant it must have been for Reds, and I've never been to Fenway Park for that rivalry. But what I am telling you, everything changed. You can go now to Yankee Stadium when the Yankees are playing the Red Sox, and this was true in 2002, and it's the same thing in 2017. It's not vile anymore. It's not like you'll see a lot of Red Sox fans at Yankee Stadium. Mm. When you see the Yankees go to Fenway Park, there are a lot of Yankee fans there now. Yeah, there might be some good-natured ribbing, but it's not like it used to be. 9/11 changed all of that. I've experienced it. I've witnessed it. It changed so much in that city with the way people interact with others. Everything changed, and it will be changed forever. But that constant reminder, mm-hmm. and I've always thought the same thing for the people that commute in the nation's capital, and you drive by the Pentagon. I don't see how anyone could drive by the Pentagon and not think about what happened on 9/11.
You got to absolutely do it. And the same for the Be Strong bombings in Boston.
Absolutely.
There's a bit of understanding,
sure.
because you have the American love.
You don't think that the Boston Marathon is now, on Patriots Day?
Oh.
That's not thought of by every single Bostonian
every
single person that's running in that. Of course they think about that, it's a constant reminder. And I just, I was disappointed we didn't do the show on Monday because I always like talking about, how I think that changed. You know, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but like we've had a lot of, there's been a lot of bad things going on in this country, regardless
right.
of what side of the fence you're on. And you know what there is no good from a hurricane. There's no good from a natural disaster. But you know what? When you see the video and the pictures from what happened in Houston,
yep.
okay, didn't matter what race you were, didn't
nope.
matter what religion you were, none of that mattered.
And
that's
Many
exactly
pictures.
What, that's what happened after 9/11. Didn't matter whether you were white, whether you were black, whether you were Hispanic, whether you were Asian, didn't matter whether you were Jewish or Catholic, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You were going to help out, you were going to do whatever you could to help out the person next to you. And you were going to raise money, and you were going to, and that's what we just had in both these two natural disasters. And you know that the shame of it is it's going to fade here in a week or two.
That's
and
what
we're going to forget about that. And that's such a shame because it's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Oh,
you know?
It's what you're saying is there, Grant, is the base emotion that human beings feel for each other when all we have is each other in a
yep.
moment. It does not matter male, female, black, white, as you mentioned, religion, whatever it is. If you need help at that
yep.
moment, nothing matters.
And again, not to get off on a tangent here, but could you imagine— Now, think about this for a minute. When the NFL resumed after a few weeks off after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and you remember the patriotic
oh, yeah.
anthems?
Oh.
And could you imagine if a player had knelt during that period of time? Could you just imagine what that would have been like?
Yeah. Actually. I can't. That's the point. When it gets to that, all this other stuff
yep.
that— protests and different things happen because of and religion and all these different, all of that stuff goes out the window because we see each other, how we truly are and how we need to see each other.
Hey, we've got Thursday Night Football and we're looking forward to coming in tomorrow and talking about that game. We'll get you ready for the NFL weekend tomorrow at 3:00. But coming up next, we're going to take you to Cincinnati It's the Bengals and the Texans, Thursday Night Football on Sports 1140.